Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with the mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you for that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art? Smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art, Mona Lisa?
Hello.
What a beautiful way to start our show today.
Yes, and it is not because my name is Mona. It is because our episode tonight is about art.
But first,
this is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Beautiful. Couldn't have done it better myself.
Got it in the last few seconds that we could.
The fifth minute.
But yeah, tonight's theme is engaging with art.
Yeah.
If you listen, our songs all have an arty theme. This one is Painter Man.
Or at least an arty name.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
We sort of ran out. There's interestingly not the most music about paintings, and I'm sure it exists, but
it's not super accessible for some reason. Some of them are really fun. Some of them are kind of deep, and I'm excited to play them.
Sounds like art itself
is pretty deep.
But also can be fun. Art does not have to be deep.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about like what is art, what are the different genres of art, how do we feel about these different genres. And we've had some really cool conversations, and we're excited to share them with you.
Yes, yes.
So where do we want to start?
Oh, there's so many places we could.
Start the art.
Yes.
Okay, let's get right into the controversy. Mm-hmm. Modern art.
Ooh, modern art.
Noah and I don't know. We don't see eye to eye on modern art.
We very much do not see eye to eye on modern art.
I personally, why don't you go? Let's start with the pros.
So I will say my case because I like modern art and because you don't.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I don't love modern art. It's just, I don't know. We're going to start with Noah. And if my dad is listening in, I know my dad has a lot of opinions on modern art. So I don't know.
Interesting.
We'll see what he thinks of the debate.
Sure. I'm a fan of modern art because I like sort of challenging sort of the status quo and the expectations. I think we, I mean, some people are like, oh, that's so simple, I could do it myself, or like, that art is like just a circle or a line, which there's a lot of modern art, that's just one form of it. But I think that why can't a line be beautiful? Why couldn't something plain and simple have a beauty of its own? And so the idea that maybe it's time that we completely rethink how we like perceive the world, I think modern art is a good teacher of that.
See, I see what you're saying in theory. When you say that, it all sounds so fun and, you know, original and creative. And then when I go to these modern art museums and I see like a line on a canvas held up, I'm like, you know, there are people who are spending hours and hours and toiling away using so many like intricate technique and detail, and you drew a line on a canvas and here it is. Like, I don't know, you know, the kind of the viral story about the teenagers who put a pair of glasses on the floor and started looking at it intensely, and soon everyone started looking at it intensely. Like, where do we draw the line?
I don't think we should ever draw a line.
I guess, but don't you think, to me, it almost seems like a shame that there are, you know, when you look at some of these like portraits, they look like photographs. And that took so much time and effort and energy. And then you have like, you know, a pair of glasses, and it's like, I don't know.
Well, for me, I don't rate my art based on how long it took them or how like perfect their technique is. I think what's valuable, at least for me, about art is how it can impact me after I've seen it.
Okay, almost. I agree. So I totally agree. And for me, when I see these portraits that you know, that look so realistic and at least to me convey kind of like such a deep emotional element of like pain and anguish on the person's face, and then I see some squiggly lines with some splatter paint, I just do not have an emotional reaction to the squiggly lines. I don't know. For me, it just... that I agree with you, and after I look at a piece of modern art, I'm like, you know, what is modern society come to if this is considered art? I don't know.
I think, I don't know, something sort of interesting happened. I was at a party, and there was some pretty, like, heavy, sort of, almost more like medley music playing, which is not something I would normally seek out by myself, but at the time, it was exactly what I needed, and exactly...
okay.
A way to sort of get out the like turmoil I was feeling on the inside. And I feel like maybe we don't always need modern art. It shouldn't be the only thing in a museum, but I definitely think there's a time and a place for it.
Okay, interesting. I guess to be fair, to you know, I do have one story of a time modern art really moved me, which was at the Guggenheim Museum in New York. There was an exhibit, of course, now I don't remember the name or the artist, but it was, a Vietnamese artist. Excuse me. And the focus was on, I remember the focus was on, like, colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, the Guggenheim is this spirally museum.
Yes, yes, yes.
And at first, there was just all these, like, objects. And there was, like, it felt so disjointed and random. And I was like, none of this makes any sense. It was just, like, a piece of scrap, you know, like... And then as you went up, you, like, read about the story behind all the objects. And, like, it really, like, came together to tell a story. And by the time you were at the top, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I understand so much now. So I guess, yeah, I guess you're right, Noah. I think there is a time for modern art breaking the borders and stuff. But again, that art, it wasn't just a line on a canvas. It was, like... you know, he like made a life-size replica of the Statue of Liberty and then dismantled it to like, you know, represent the dismantling of liberty in America, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't just like a white canvas on a wall.
Mm-hmm. I would say I think we do a bad job of mentally preparing ourselves to look at modern art. I think if art museums really sort of forced us to enter a frame of mind that was very much so like where we wanted to challenge sort of everything, and where, like, because right now you go into an art museum and you're like, oh, I'm so excited to look at these like beautiful paintings, and that's not necessarily what you get with modern art. But if we could go into a museum and just all of your senses were transported to this very new place, I think then we could all have a deeper appreciation for abstract art.
Interesting. I'm not sure I completely followed that.
That's
but
fair. I mean, you go into, I know, you go into your house every day and like expect to feel a certain way, kind
of.
And I feel like we have these sort of mental expectations for going into an art museum.
Okay.
And so when we see something like a line, we're like, that's not what I expected. I don't like that.
Ooh.
Why don't I see the art that I want to see or that I expect to see?
Okay, interesting. So
even
you're...
Even if you go into a modern, like, museums of modern art, I think we still have the, like, mental block. It's like, this isn't really what I came here for.
Interesting. Okay, so I think that's all very interesting, all good things to think about. And there is a song that I think is comical, a little jarring to listen to, but kind of sums it up in its own way. So let's listen to Modern Art by Art Brut. Exciting song, Mona. Yeah, you know, when I first heard it, I laughed because it was a lot. And then I was like, you know what? That's what Noah's trying to say, is that modern art should make you feel things. And yeah, so that was that. And now, okay, so we talked a bit about, like, genre. We talked about genre. Now let's go into...
But yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, you're right.
It's
we
fine.
Only,
it's
you
fine.
Know, but that was genre. That was it for genre. That's it. No more genre. Let's talk a bit about what people make art about.
Okay.
I know earlier we were talking... Earlier as in not on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were talking about portraits.
Yes.
Tell me what you think of portraits.
I am not a big fan of portraits.
Interesting. I am, personally. Let's hear both sides. Let's hear anti-portrait from Noah.
Oh, you want to go first? Start with
okay,
the pros again?
Okay, we'll start with the pros again. You're so right.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, I'm ready. I'm ready. This is who I am. Portraits, I guess. I mean, it depends. Of course, there are good portraits and bad portraits. Yeah. For me, a good portrait, it's not even the most realistic portrait. Like, it's not a portrait that looks like a photograph. I guess, technically speaking, I think those are, like, the most technically impressive portraits that look so real that you're like, wow, that's, like, a real technical achievement. But emotionally, I feel like a portrait should, like, exude something about the subject's emotion. There should be some sort of emotional connection. Like, you should look at a portrait and say, oh my God, look at the sadness in her eyes. Like, oh my God, look at the pain. And then be like, feel empathy and feel a connection. That's my thought on portraits. Like, in my head right now, like, you know, I'm just like envisioning those portraits that you look at and it feels like the person's eyes look so real. Not technically speaking, but just, again, the emotional quality of, like, being a person.
That's fair. I mean, I can't say that I, like, in every way hate portraits. Because you're very correct. Like, when they have that emotional impact, that's a really, really cool thing. Yes, I'm just not a fan, because when I've, like, been in art museums, I feel like so many portraits are just the same thing over and over. And I feel like people are so diverse and so different, and, like, there's so many interesting things about us. But, like, in at least the art that is presented to us in museums, so many portraits are the same.
Okay.
Which is frustrating to me.
How are they the same?
I feel like
the subjects are the same.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the subjects are the same. The way it's just like a face on a canvas, or like a full body on a canvas. And I feel like the world is so much more than that.
Okay. What about, like, Picasso's portraits?
I guess they're definitely...
The cubism.
Very exciting portraits, which I do enjoy more because they're different and they're new.
So
I guess I'm just opposed to, like, seeing the same thing 50 times.
Okay, okay. But I guess from my point of view, yeah, it's a bunch of faces, but, like, each face is nuanced. And, like, you get a different emotion in each face. Or you should, or else it's not a good portrait.
Why look at a portrait when you can just look around?
This is something, okay, yeah, this is an interesting question. We've talked about this with nature too. Mm-hmm. Nature mm-hmm. art. You said that about nature,
yeah,
too.
I feel that with regards to nature, we heavily romanticize it and we're like, oh, this beautiful stream or this, like, amazing tree, and it's like full beauty.
Okay.
And something that we, like, neglect is all the times in the world that nature is imperfect or not this, like, pristine thing, but it still has immense value and potential.
Okay. So you think that instead of looking at people in paintings, instead of looking at a romanticized piece of nature
in a painting, in a portrait.
Okay, you think that art tends to romanticize? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I think we love romanticized
things. I mean, I love romanticized things. I think in my opinion, it's not necessarily that it's an exaggeration. It's an exaggeration of something true. It's like the things they carried when he says, you know, it might not have been true, but it was real. So it's like, in order to get at the emotional trueness, you have to kind of stretch the, you know, physical trueness. In order to get the emotional quality of that beautiful painted tree, it's like, yeah, you're going to have to make the tree look a little nicer than it does in real life. But then it makes you feel so much more. I guess I see your point, though, that you can only do that to an extent.
And I guess a strong opinion of mine is that we neglect the mundane. Even though so much of our lives are mundane and really routine and, like, plain. And I feel like art and our culture really tells us that, like, that stuff is so boring and we should completely ignore it. And I don't think the answer is living lives that are always completely full of excitement and the most intense things all the time, that we should go skydiving and then go, like, bungee jumping and then go swim with sharks. I think a much more reasonable approach is to, like, find beauty in the mundane and, like, I think if we used art to highlight the mundane, but...
But don't you think that's what... I agree, and I think that's what art does. I think when you see a picture of a beautiful, picturesque stream, you're more likely to look out at the nature in your own world and see it in a more picturesque way, even if it is mundane. And you can kind of impart these emotional qualities onto things that may previously had no emotional meaning to you.
But what if instead of a stream you have a very ugly just trickle of water?
Then you see it in a more beautiful way. And is that such a problem?
I mean, are you bending reality into like a lie?
Is there such thing as reality? Isn't everything we see construed?
No.
Yeah.
There's more reality and less reality.
But think about it. I mean, the stream...
I am very opposed to lying about what reality is.
I'm not saying fake news reality. I'm saying that if you think about it, like, I mean, in social psych, the whole concept of social psychology is that everything is construed. Everything is interpreted differently by different people.
I mean,
every situation...
The red I'm seeing could be very different from the red you see. That's
so is there a real red?
Maybe not, but I would say we can both look at a stream and agree that many aspects are the same.
Sure, but like again, where someone just sees a trickle of water, another person could genuinely look at that and be like, that's beautiful.
Well, you can think... Why not be able to think a trickle of water is beautiful?
Yeah, you do. That's what I mean.
Do we have to say, oh, that trickle of water reminds me of this stream I saw in a painting?
No. It's subconscious. No, it's more subconscious than that. Because, like, looking at the painting of the beautiful stream, at least for me, I'm like, oh my God, look at this beautiful stream. Water is so beautiful. Nature in general is so beautiful. Life is so beautiful. So then when I look at the trickle of water, it's not that I'm consciously thinking, oh yeah, I remember that beautiful stream I saw at the MFA. It's just, I think for me at least, art just makes, like, the emotional enhancement I feel from art just carries over into the rest of my life. But I agree with you. I do agree with you that we tend to romanticize, and I am, you know, extremely guilty of that. I guess, I don't know. I think it's a balance. I think you have to be maybe aware that you might be romanticizing, but at the same time, it's like life is maybe better when it's romanticized.
I think I want to make a world where we don't have to romanticize things.
Where we just see the beauty and how it really is.
Yeah, in reality.
I think we have the same idea. We're looking at it in two different ways.
Very true.
Because
I think we both want people to experience beauty in the world.
Yes. We're approaching it from two different standpoints.
I guess I am starting at the end and saying, like, the end is, like, the real world. And, like, you should see the real world and, like, be able to appreciate that. And you're starting at the beginning and saying, well, I'm starting with me and here's how I see beauty, kind of.
Ooh, okay. So you're saying you're starting from the world inward and I'm starting from the self outward?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Here's the thing, though. We can change ourselves, but we can't change the world. Like, we can't necessarily bend reality, but we can bend how we perceive reality.
Yeah. So I feel like that's a stronger argument from starting with the self, because you can, you know, you can change how you see things.
True.
Yeah.
So we should see reality, even if it's mundane, as beautiful.
I guess I just don't think anything, I don't think anything has to be mundane. We could talk about this forever.
Yes.
We did want to get to the big topic, social media.
True.
And art. I think to start it off, we gotta play this classic...
This piece of art.
This is a piece of art.
Music.
This is classical music at its finest.
I confess, I'm heavily joking there.
I'm heavily joking. This is more tongue-in-cheek.
But maybe we should perceive it.
It's
anyways.
Well, it's satire. It's in my opinion, it's satire. We'll discuss it after we.
Yes,
let's let the listeners make their own judgment. Let's true, not put creed. True. Here's a hashtag selfie by the Chainsmokers.
Enjoy.
When Jace was at the table, I kept on seeing him look at me while he's with that other girl. Do you think he was just doing that to make me jealous? Because he was totally texting me all night last night, and I don't know if it's a booty call or not. So, like, what do you think? Did you think that girl was pretty? How did that girl even get in here? Do you see her? She's so short, and that dress is so tacky. Who wears cheetah? It's not even summer. Why does the DJ keep on playing Summertime Sadness? After we get out of the bathroom, can we go smoke a cigarette? I really need one. But first, let me take a selfie. I want to look tan. What should my caption be? I want it to be clever. How about living with my bitches, hashtag live. I only got 10 likes in the last 5 minutes. Do you think I should take it down? Let me take another selfie.
I would like to apologize to anybody who happened to tune in as that song was playing. Definitely.
It was played for a reason.
Yes, it was played ironically.
Well, we were talking about how it was played ironically, but at the same time,
it's a bop.
It's bop. Like,
the background beat is a lot of fun.
And I think the lyrics are scarily.
Do not defend the lyrics.
No, they scarily. No, like they're supposed to jar you because. Unfortunately, like, it is kind of realistic, the lyrics. Like, we do live in a shallow society.
I take selfies when I, like, want people to know that I'm doing fine, I think.
What? You don't even have social media.
I never use social media. So sometimes I'll, like, send a text message and, like,
with a selfie,
send a
okay.
selfie and be like.
Selfies can be fun. I think the point of the song is, you know. That we might be leaning towards a more narcissistic viewpoint of social media.
We value how others perceive us through social media over the world that's actually happening mm-hmm. that matters.
So we were gonna connect it to art. What's the connection between social media and art? I remember you were telling me that mm-hmm. you tell me I don't remember what you were telling
sure.
me.
Sure. So it kind of tied into nature in art as well. So this idea that like. We look for these like perfect trees, and so like that's what gets painted, and so like when we go outside and when we go into nature, we're like, oh, look at how beautiful this scene is, like there's these perfect aspects, and so like we spend a few minutes like making sure the lighting is just right, and then we take like a selfie there, or like just a picture there, but we never like take pictures of like the normal things, and sometimes we go out. Just so that we can share with others that like, oh yeah, I like went and saw this beautiful thing, but like we don't really observe that and it's not meaningful to us because we're completely focused on others instead of living in the moment kind of.
I think you're a genius, Noah. I think that's truly such a smart connection because I think I personally have never like thought about the connection between social media and art, like I'd be like, what? But you're right that both involve. I wrote down a quote you said earlier in the week. You said, cherry picking beauty without considering the ugly side. And I think that both art and social media do have a tendency to do this.
Definitely.
And I think in terms of what you were saying in about social media's relationship to art, I read an article that said that there are now these museums, quote unquote, they're called the Instagram museums.
Yeah, I've seen those.
This article.
Those
made
me.
They it gave me like chills. It made me so uncomfortable. It's like the museum of color, and it's like the entire museum is just there for you to take pictures of it. And the museum, it looks great in a picture, But when you're in the museum itself, according to the writer, you just feel empty because there's no substance. It's just all there for you to take a picture of it.
It's completely superficial.
I think the writer of the article was saying how a lot of times it feels like, you know, we take... A lot of times it feels like the pictures we take don't do justice to the real experience. And this is an example of the picture we take is the experience, and it's
true.
The only thing meaningful about the experience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you see the Mona Lisa in the Louvre and you take a picture, it doesn't have the same... You're like, but it's just, it looks stupid in the picture. You can barely see it. But when you're there, you're like, oh my God, I'm looking at this amazing piece of art. So then the kind of the quote-unquote solution to this is, well, let's have the museum of ice cream and have fake ice cream for people to hold up and take Instagram pictures with. Isn't that scary?
I mean, there's a ton of those museums. I have read countless news articles on different ones, and they're very self-aware. They know that they only exist as photo opportunities, and that's how they market themselves.
Which is scary!
It's dystopic, I say.
I think we need to think about... We need to be thinking about...
True meaning?
Yes. Maybe? I like how I was like, we need to think about it, and then I was like... But I don't know, it is complicated. I know we were talking about... There's a YouTube channel I really like called The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows, and it basically makes up words for... feelings that we don't have words for.
Yeah.
And one of them was about this concept of feeling like we need to capture everything in a photo.
Mm-hmm.
And the word was Mori.
Right? Two eyes?
Yes. Mori. The desire to capture a fleeting experience. Yeah. I don't know. And I was thinking, you know, this is a YouTube video, but...
We should do the,
Okay.
Real quick.
So we're going to do the PSA, and then after the PSA...
Yes, we'll play
Noah,
this clip.
This is going back to last week's thing of Noah following the rules so carefully. The PSA should be... what if the PSA just naturally should come at the end?
I just want to keep this show.
Okay. I'm going to do half and then you do half.
Oh, exciting.
Okay. Hashtag, keep it freeform. Why is WMFO freeform? Well, it's been our tradition now for more than 45 years, and none of us here at WMFO want to see that change anytime soon. Do you? If not, we need your help to keep WMFO freeform by contributing to our annual donations drive. Anytime before November 14th, go over to donate.wmfo.org to support WMFO in reaching our $5,000 goal. You will even receive a unique thank you gift.
To see more about what our DJs have to say about keeping WMFO freeform, visit facebook.com/WMFOMedford and share with your friends using the hashtag #KeepItFreeform.
Wow. I don't think that counts as a PSA.
That's called This Radio Station Needs Money.
It's not a PSA if you ask for donations. Okay.
Well, it's...
You know what?
We are serving the public. So...
Okay.
Us trying to sustain ourselves.
I love it.
That's a pretty narcissistic...
You know,
viewpoint,
let's just say that we did our job.
Yes.
And now I think it would, you know.
We should not challenge the system. No modern art in this room.
No. Only traditional art here.
Well,
this is kind of like, okay, so there's, you know, this Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows thing. They all have videos, but obviously we don't need the video. But however, so we're going to play this clip. About the desire to capture a fleeting experience. And I'd love for the listeners to imagine a video montage of a bunch of people taking pictures on their iPhones.
Have you...
Because that is what the video is.
Yes. Have you muted Spotify in the background?
I just paused her. And now we're gonna play her. So
wonderful.
Enjoy this.
Please enjoy.
Strange how strong the instinct is. To see something incredible and reach for a camera. as if to lend it some credibility, to prove that it's real, that I was here. Mori. We live our lives in moments. In those rare experiences we stop to notice and carry with us. In the hopes of stringing them together, trying to tell a story. But even in the moment, you can feel it start to fade. So you try to capture it and convert it into something that will last longer than just a flash. And over time, a photo feels more real than its subject. It lets you build a version of the world that you can take with you. A world flattened and simple. A world that doesn't change. That fits in the frame. A little brighter and more colorful. With everything under control. Travel the globe looking for memories, and still find yourself standing behind a camera, waiting for the world to hold still. With every click of the shutter, you're trying to press pause on your life. If only so you can feel a little more comfortable moving on, living in a world stuck on play. A part of you knows that you can't take it with you, but that doesn't stop you from trying. What if I could stay just a little longer? What if we didn't have to go? We try to capture moments as if we're afraid they'll escape, but they'll get away eventually. Take one last look. One more shot. So years from now, you can flip back through and try to relive it all over again. But maybe even then, you'll be thinking to yourself, ah, well, I guess you had to be there.
Well, that was so interesting.
Beautiful and sorrowful.
Yes. I have a story to tell about that. And while I tell the story, we think we might have some guests waiting to come in. Noah's gonna go check. They might not be here. They say they're in the lobby. I don't know what that means. So, my story about that is, first of all, I love that video. I think it's, again, so deep, so meaningful. And my story is about how on every family vacation, there's my mom and there's my dad. So my mom has, you know, the idea that we need to be taking pictures on our family vacation. So she takes all the pictures. And my dad is like, no, we need to be enjoying this family vacation and not pausing every 5 seconds just to take a picture. So what is the result of this? The result of this is that during the family vacation, we're like, Mom, stop, blah, 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 you know, like, enough. And then after the vacation, years later, we're looking through my mom's iPhone and we go, oh my God, remember that vacation? Look at all these pictures. This is bringing back so many memories. And my mom always says, yeah, remember how you didn't want me to take those pictures? Imagine if I hadn't taken them, you wouldn't have had these memories to look back on. So it's hard because I think for me, it's a balance of, you know, you have, it's nice to take some pictures so that you can look back and remember them. But at the same time, you don't want the entire experience to be just taking pictures. I hope you listeners enjoyed that thought. And I am so excited to announce that we found the guests. They were in the lobby. They're here. So as some of you may know, Noah and I met our very first day of Tufts University at the Focus Pre-Orientation Program. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. The Focus Pre-Orientation Program. And we have stayed close with our group. And two of the members of our group, Maddie and Becca, are here. And we are so excited to talk to them. So I'm gonna turn them on. You guys are on air.
It is such an honor. A true honor. Thank you for having us.
Amazing. Becca is smiling, and that's all that counts.
Yes, Becca, I think, wants to abstain from joining the conversation.
But she's here.
Yes. We're so happy to have her. And
she laughed. Okay, I'll stop.
We're exhilarated by having guests.
I love having guests. For you loyal listeners, you remember the very first episode where Ido was here.
What a great guest.
And now we have Madison Lehan. Maddie, we were talking about art.
Yes.
And we know you are a patron of the arts.
I try to be a patron of the arts.
I think we all try our best.
So we were talking about, let's get Maddie's opinion on some of the things we were talking about. We were talking about how the tendency of art to romanticize and idealize real life. But we were also talking, that was Noah's point of view. And my point of view was, okay, maybe, but it just makes real life so much more beautiful. What do you think? Are you more of the idea that, you know, we shouldn't be romanticizing? Are you of the opinion that romanticism, yes, somewhere in between, as we all are?
I think I have to be somewhere in between.
Of course.
But I think I'm more towards the side we shouldn't romanticize in art, because I think when you enjoy art or you absorb it, you want it to be real. You want it to be like real life. When it's romanticized, it doesn't feel as real. It doesn't feel, I think people like art because it's a reflection of life.
Mm-hmm. So when you look at a piece of art that's, you think, in your opinion, is overly romanticized, you go, this feels fake.
Yes, I think certain types of art, definitely. If I'm in a movie and it doesn't seem realistic, I immediately disconnect.
Movies.
So a fan of art imitates life instead of life imitates art.
Yes.
Which I think is what social media is like, the ultimate connection is we have moved to life trying to imitate art, which cannot be accomplished.
Noah, you are so smart. That's so true. That was amazing. You're so right, because when you look at, and to Becca, I always talk about Becca's view on social media, which has literally changed how I view social media, which I will say for her, I am the voice of the people. No, I'm kidding. Once I was saying, I was like, Becca, I was like, ugh, like, you know, and you're scrolling through Instagram and you're looking at all these people and they're having such a good time and, you know, you feel that FOMO. And she went, no, when I look at those pictures, I think, what led this person to feel so empty that they needed to prove to everyone else that they were having a good time? And I was like, what? She was like, yeah, I don't feel jealous. I just feel sad for them that they need to be like...
Have that external validation instead of being so able much. To enjoy the moment themselves and to
it
be able
changed
to...
changed how I view social media. Because now, you know, obviously, like, I do like social media. Like, when I see a cute picture of, you know, two people getting lunch, I'm like, oh my god, this is
and
so
it's
cute.
Cool to be able to advertise Mona and Noah Save the World 7 yes. to 8 p.m. on Saturdays.
Which led to many listeners. A lot of people were like, I listened. I was like, oh, my mom, fun fact, my mom said she went out to dinner with her mom friends last night. Okay. And that one of the moms listened to the show last week because her daughter saw the Instagram post and was like, Mom, Mona has a show. So shout out
it
to
can
Jen
be
McKinley.
A tool. It can be a tool to connect us. But that's using it in a very different way than sharing a photo
of yourself.
Yeah, but
now, again, yeah, now when I see those, like, kind of, like, overly stylized pictures with a caption like, life just can't get any better, ever, I'm like, I don't know, like, methinks the lady doth protest too much. I don't know. What is it? So, yeah, that was our social media. Maddie, are you an active social media person, kind of a little?
Definitely not. I think my Instagram scares people, and that is a fact. There are maybe 9 pictures over the course of 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I when I was younger, like in middle school, I liked social media. I liked using Instagram when it was a time that you could post memes.
Oh,
you didn't
yes.
actually post pictures.
You can still post memes.
I post memes. On my Finsta,
I post
maybe.
Memes.
On the Rinsta.
I post memes.
I've heard Finsta. I mean, I don't use social media. Right. I've never heard Rinsta is like real Instagram.
You've never heard Rinsta?
That is upsetting to me.
It's so upsetting, in my opinion.
Did Rinsta happen like later?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. This is like something that scares me even more. Is that okay? So we've gotten to the point in society where everyone kind of knows that your Rinsta, quote unquote, is fake. So then people have their Finsta to show, quote unquote, the real them to my real followers.
Isn't that crazy?
And no. It gets crazier. Now people's Finstas are like so artificial and so contrived.
Yes. Wow.
And then like there's just like now, to me at least, it feels like people's Finstas are their like comedy accounts where they're like, I'm so funny, I'm so relatable. Like, look at some funny pictures of me being funny. And it's like, I know for a fact you were crying all day. Where's, if this is supposedly your Finsta, you know, like, again, I'm not saying people should post that they were crying all day, but it's just scary to me that now even people's Finstas are just so artificial.
No, I think my like life cycle with every social media platform is the first few months I think it's fun, it's funny, I like post a lot, and then I slowly get more and more scared of how much other like how contrived it is or mm-hmm. how other people are making it like that, and so I stopped posting. So my Rinsta, when I was in seventh grade, I was very active and I posted all these memes, uh-huh. and then I was scared because everyone started posting real pictures and I didn't want to do that. I didn't care if people saw it, so I deleted that. And then I got a Finsta in high school when it was like cool to have a Finsta, and I posted funny things and I thought it was fun. And then it started to scare me how much people were posting and how it was like, oh, who's day is worse, like,
yes,
or who's had a better day. And so I stopped posting on Finsta, and now I just don't post anything anymore on Snapchat or Instagram, really. It's scary.
I was just gonna say, I don't think I've ever made the connection to the kind of artificial slash real element of like art in museums, mm-hmm. but it is related, where we want to see and we want to go to museums and we want to just see kind of these like glorified, idealized images of, you know, the pretty trees and the sculptures, and it is interesting.
We want our Van Goghs and our Picassos, but like the name is, you're not there for a name, you're there for art and an experience. So the fact that like we can get so caught up. Now, I do have a challenge, because it's easy to talk about, like, philosophy,
okay.
which I think we're kind of doing in a way.
Interesting.
And, like, being like, oh, look at this scary social problem. Like, this is, like, haunting me. Like, this is upsetting. What can we do to fix it? That's the conversation. It's very valuable to have the conversation that, like, the world is in a mess.
Mm.
But it's more
You're
valuable
right.
to talk about, what can I do tomorrow to
yes,
fix it?
Yes, Noah.
Apps for
okay, Maddie, you start. I don't know.
That's
delete the account. Is that a
no,
path?
No.
Because
does that help anything? I don't think so.
No, because in my opinion, the solution. I like how I was like, Maddie, you go, and then I was like, so my opinion. But I think you have to be using the platform for good. Like, I don't know. Like, that sounds cliche.
Mm-hmm.
Let me provide an example. I guess, you know, when people were first moving to college, everyone was starting to post like me and my best friends, and I was like, you've been there for 5 days,
yeah.
like help. And there was a really cute picture of me, and I was like, I want to post this, and I was like, but I don't want to do the thing where I post a picture of me having the best time of my whole life, because, you know, people must like, because I want people to know that that's not real. So what I did was the classic meta caption of like me. I use the Kermit meme, but you know, basically in the caption I acknowledge the fact that I was like, listen, this picture is so cute and I edited it to make it look cute, and it's not the full story, and it's just supposed to be a fun picture, so don't think that this is my entire life. And it was the most likes I've ever gotten on a picture, which is ironic in and of itself. But I do, you know, this, I guess,
because I think we all know that we're lying to each other.
I think people related to that. I think people saw that, and first they were like, oh my god, such a cute picture, and then they were like, oh my god, she's right. Like, you know, like, this is so fake, but it is still a cute picture, and I think that's part of why I got such a positive reaction.
Is there's this sort of thought piece, it's like kind of a book, question mark, called The Spectacle, which is essentially that we have expectations of society, and so, like, we act in certain ways, and that, like, makes those expectations what reality is, in sort of this cycle.
Damn.
So I think that's exactly what this is. Like everybody knows that we just have expectations for social media and, like, how we should act. And, like, everyone's aware, or most people, at least, I think, are aware. But, like, we keep doing it anyways because, like, we think that's how we're supposed to do it.
Okay, so you're saying be brave enough to break out of the system.
Yeah. I mean, being self-aware and, like, showing others the, like, awareness is valuable, but, like, why don't we have a selfie that's, like, today was an okay day. It didn't go great, but, like...
Okay, that reminds... Well, if you've noticed, I know this is kind of... This could be a whole topic in and of, like, altogether, but, you know, marketing, the whole concept behind Photoshop and airbrushing and stuff, and... That is the status quo, is photoshopping, especially, like, female models to make them look thinner, to have this perfect skin, all this stuff. But now there are a lot of companies that purposefully don't do that. And they're like, look, this model has a stretch mark. And it's like, it...
Is it,
it makes
better? I think it's better, but it's still forced. And this is something that frustrates me about... advertising in general, is advertising is always trying to sell you something and they're never authentic.
I agree. I think it's more the idea of, in this case, in this context, the idea of breaking out of reality, like breaking out of the expectation.
Breaking into reality.
Ooh, breaking out of expectation and into reality. So deep. Okay, what else can we pick Maddie's brain on while she's here? Maddie, what thoughts do you want to share with the listeners? Putting you on the spot? No. What's your favorite kind of art? Like, what do you look for when you go to a museum or to the movies or just see a piece of art?
I think I'm the kind of person to go to an art museum and be like, well, this was fun. I probably won't do this for another year or so. Like, I love how beautiful it is and I appreciate it, but not so much. I'm not like, wow, I'm having a great time right now.
Interesting.
But I go to the movies or I listen to music and I'm like, I am actively enjoying this and will, like, I leave an art museum and I never think about it again. I leave a movie, like, we left
A Star is Born
crying, and then I think about it for the next, like, month. Or I listen to a really good song or, like, a really good album, and then I listen to it on repeat for months.
So performance art for you is more powerful?
100%. Musicals.
What do you think it is for you about... Do you think it's the element of active performance?
I think it's the immersion. Like, I think in an art museum, I just think I'm not good at immersing myself.
I have been to some art museums that are curated very well, and you step into a room, and the whole thing is sort of for these pieces of art, and the whole thing is a piece of art. Like, there was one museum, and I was just walking through, and then I realized I was walking on, like, a carpet that sort of, like, absorbed my steps.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, I'm in a new space and I'm ready to, like, experience something new. And I remember that. And that, like, has stuck with me more.
You know, this actually, I can bring this full circle to social media. I watched a video about how all these art museums now are doing, like, social media art exhibits.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. We were talking about that. Like, I can't believe it came back. Like, the ice cream museum, quote unquote, the museum of color.
I think that's so dumb.
Yeah,
we agreed.
And enjoy that. But if I go to, like, is that pretentious? I don't know.
We were talking about the idea that, like, in a real museum, when you take a picture, it doesn't capture how you feel. It's not able to capture your feelings. And that's what the video we kind of listened to. The creepy video.
We loved it. It shook me in a way.
It should
nothing
what?
Nothing has ever shook me before.
Oh my.
Yeah, we
started. Okay, let's see what they texted me. Mona, this is so dark, I'm sad.
Because
it's so true.
It's so true. But also...
I'm sorry, Becca.
I don't don't know if that's, but think about like when I look back in childhood pictures, I don't have any context for that, but it makes me so happy.
Well, I was, while you guys were coming in and I was stalling, I was telling the story of, you know, like when I look at these pictures from my family vacations, I'm like, oh, this is just so wonderful. This is so great. And it's like when I'm in those family vacations taking the pictures, I'm like, this is the last thing I want to be doing right now is taking a picture. Yes. I just want to be enjoying it.
Yeah.
But then I do like having the pictures to look back on. It's a balance.
It's a balance.
Yeah.
It's always a balance.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, can I do one more thing?
You can do as many more things as you want in the 3 minutes.
Really, really, really want art on subways. Like art riding in a subway train, instead of looking at advertisements, I wish there was art that we could look at.
Well, you know, performance art is often in subway stations and I love that. You know, I would see videos in New York City that there are like street performers inside the subway, and that does not happen in Boston, and I wish it did, because I really enjoy the people playing music in the subway station. It makes me so happy.
But do you like it on the train?
I think I would want it on the train. It doesn't happen a lot in Boston, but I think I would want that.
See, I think some people want a quiet commute.
Maybe. But my favorite part about Boston is Kitar Bear. I don't know if you're familiar with
him. No,
never heard.
But he is a man in a giant bear costume.
Excuse me?
Who plays the kitar. And he changes people's lives. I wrote my senior speech about him.
Wait, wow. What?
He travels around Boston just making people happy.
We're going to look it up.
He is talented and kind, and I want to marry him. I don't know. Maybe that's too far. That's too far, but I love
it. It's never too far. He's playing this instrument in the bear costume.
And he's just like, dum, 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 dum. He just jamming out, and the only point of his act is to, like, make commuters happy. I mean, and to make money, but let's ignore that part.
Let's ignore
the beautiful intention.
Yes,
well, the beautiful results are there.
Yes.
Do you want to do the tag? Because we're nearing the end of our show.
Sure,
so this is Mona and Noah, Save the World.
And you are listening to 91.5 FM, WFMO, Medford Tufts, Freeform Radio.
95%. It's WMFO, but you got an A.
That would be like a C.
Like, if you get an A in a her. Okay, I think we had such a good conversation today. I feel like truly my brain feels stimulated. I'm going to look at the world. I'm going to examine it. I'm going to say, what would Noah say about this? What would Maddie say about this? What would Becca say about this? Becca would say, Mona,
and
this is dark.
What would Mona say about this?
True.
I always think, what would Noah think? Because you always have a good perspective on things.
For sure.
Very rational.
Well, we had a great time. We're going to end with, this is fitting, Picasso's Last Words by Paul McCartney. Sad, but farewell and closure-ish.
Yes.
So thank you for listening to our conversation about art. We will see you next week. Thank you, Maddie and Becca, for stopping by. We loved having you.
It was a pleasure.
Okay.
And thank you, listeners.
Yes, thank you, listeners. As always, we stan. This is Picasso's Last Words.
Have a beautiful night.
See you next week.
Brando painter died last night. Paintings on the wall. Before he went, he bade us.